This podcast is part of the Dark Myths Collective. Visit darkmyths.org to discover more shows like this one. The darkness awaits.
Hello and welcome to the Not Alone podcast. I'm Jason Moitoso.
And I'm Sam Fredrickson.
And today, I'm back with something new, something fresh, right out the kitchen, Sam.
Nice, nice. Yes, welcome to, what number is it?
I have no idea.
I think this
But we're filling out that menu.
We are. This is Jason's special, I believe, number 7 that we'll be discussing today. And you know, buddy, I think you got another winner here. I really do.
Sam, you haven't read the notes.
Well, I've had a busy few days, thank you. But I think the subject matter is good. It's better than the time you were like, I want to talk about swamps for an hour, which actually turned out to be very, very good. But I was like, how and why? And then you did it. So I guess I should just trust you. That's what
because
this comes
crazy
into.
Things happen in lurking areas.
Yes. And this week,
as I gesture to your couch
around to the dog this week as well, the actually this is a joke I'll make later, so
okay, no jokes, all jokes aside.
No, dude, I got a great
on reserve
joke, but we'll get there in a minute. So
okay,
what are we talking about,
Sam? Today I wanted to talk about something that spooks us both.
Okay,
shed some light on it.
Okay,
I want to talk about Ouija boards.
Woof.
But I also...
Can I convince you to not do that, please?
But I also want to talk about seances.
Now, see, for some reason, while I would not hold a seance, I don't have an issue talking about seances, I guess.
Right? Not the same that we do talking about Ouija boards.
Exactly. I really just don't want to talk about Ouija boards at all, but this is your life that you have chosen to live this way. So,
well, Sam, don't worry. I'm going to be doing most of the talking.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to. My wife's out of town, so I've got a beer in one hand, and I got some water in the other. And I'm just going to sit here and drink for an hour.
That's all I ask.
There we go.
If only you could do that every week.
Right? It'd be nice. So I'm all carved up and ready to go.
All right. So, Sam?
Yeah.
Tell me, though, before we dive in, what is your understanding of Ouija boards? Like, what, when I say Ouija boards,
okay,
what is the first thing that comes to mind? Like,
okay, the first thing that comes to mind is this thing, this article that I read very many years ago. Like, I think about this every time I think about Ouija boards, but it doesn't make Ouija boards less scary to me. The first thing I think about is an article that says that even though you are not consciously doing it, science has proved it is you moving the Ouija board, moving
yeah,
the planchette. That's the first thing I always think about. So
okay, good. So there
work?
Isn't any evil connotation
the
to it.
Second,
then? Oh dear.
The second thing that I always think about is Zozo, which is a specific Ouija board like demon that has been making the round since like early 2012.
Ooh.
People have started like reporting and or interactions with this entity Zozo. To the best I can think about, I don't think I've ever heard of anything bad necessarily happening exactly connected with him, but that's like the spooky thing that I think about is like
okay,
this demon that's like waiting to use Ouija boards.
So total
see how
disclaimer,
these two
then
things just like contradict each other completely.
They do. Yes, like all good things.
Yep.
So as a disclaimer, I have not looked at more of the more recent Ouija board activities. Instead, I wanted to find their point of origin.
Oh, good.
And one thing that I think has definitely shaped at least our viewpoints and what we think of when we hear the word Ouija board, or words Ouija board, I should say, has actually been sculpted over the past 20 to 30 years of movies. And the past 30 years has been about 20 movies that involve some sort of evil Ouija board.
20 movies or 20 good movies?
movies.
Okay. All right. That's fair. I just feel like that number should be a lot higher.
Well, I guess to the point where they're not like, hey, I just shot this movie.
Right.
What do you think of it, Sam?
Yeah. Independent filmmakers can suck it. I'm kidding. You're all beautiful. Go ahead.
Anyway, before that, Ouija boards actually weren't around too much in film. It actually started kicking off right around the mid-1940s and slowly picked up once we hit the 21st century.
Okay.
And that has sculpted our subconscious of thinking these Ouija boards are a demonic device. But you and I both know Hasbro makes them.
Yes, Hasbro does make them, but that doesn't mean that Hasbro cannot channel the dark magics, right?
They do have Transformers as well, so that does explain a whole lot.
You have, like, multiple schools of magic there. You have transmutation. You have necromancy.
Perfect.
Hasbro is just a mage academy masquerading as a toy company.
Oh my god, we're onto something.
You're welcome.
So to get into Ouija boards, to get into seances, I think we have to take a step back and look at spiritualism as a whole, because that is really what has brought both of these activities from seances and the use of Ouija boards to a forefront, to pop culture. Now, spiritualism actually is quite the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Now, Sam, have you done any looksies on spiritualism?
Yeah.
What do you know so far?
I know. Did you ever see The Illusionist?
No.
That is like a great.
Was that like The Prestige?
It came out the same year as The Prestige. It was in theaters, I'm pretty sure, at the exact same time. So The Prestige holds a very special place in my heart because I love Christopher Nolan and everything that he does. But The Illusionist was a very good movie wherein, like, this magician, when he has the woman that, like, he loves, he creates beautiful magic and stuff like that, like growing an orange tree out of a bucket and that sort of thing. And before the audience's eyes. And then, like, his wife either gets stolen from him because she's like high class, he's low class, or else she dies, something like that. And then he starts to go and do, like, weirder, darker magic, one of which is like a portal kind of into the spiritualism, wherein he manifests the apparition of a child on stage, and supposedly the child is dead and all of that. So that was like my first foray into spiritualism. From there, I did a bit more research. I don't know a lot, but I mean, like, other things that I've researched bump up against spiritualism, like Harry Houdini, as I'm sure we're going to talk about, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, basically, and you kind of mentioned it in a text message that we talked about, or that we had before this. Basically, it was one of the very first, like, fringe scientific movements where people were like, oh, I have science to back up my spiritual beliefs. And, like, I can create quantifiable data to prove that ghosts are real, that sort of thing. Am I off? Am I wrong?
No, you're really good.
Okay.
So yes and no on a lot of that. So okay. Your movie is completely off. That's actually more of the occult spinoff.
Sure.
Of it.
Okay.
Spiritualism at its base was a desire to communicate with the souls of the dead in order to gain knowledge.
Right.
But not like a magical power of any sort.
Sure.
It was spiritualism at its core was the belief that once we have died, our consciousness continues to grow and continues to evolve and become better.
As I hope. Yes.
Yeah. So when people held seances, the idea was to be able to communicate with a loved one or someone in order to get guidance. It was more of having a spirit guide than anything. But spiritualism first began in the U.S., actually in New York in 1848 with the Fox sisters, two sisters that declared that they had spoken to a gentleman that was murdered at their home.
How old were the Fox sisters?
I believe they are in their teens at that time.
So would it be fairly safe to say that this is a classic case of kids see ghosts? Is that
Jujutsu?
That's my Kanye reference for the week, everybody. Kids See Ghosts album of the year 2018.
It's definitely not. It's not that great.
It's pretty. Did you listen to Kids See Ghosts?
I did. I listened to the whole thing.
You told me you listened to Yay, but I didn't know you had listened to Kids See Ghosts.
I listened to both.
You don't think Fourth because Dimension is the best song you've ever heard in your freaking life?
No, it's not.
Holy crap. I don't know if we can keep doing this podcast. Anyway, Kids See Ghosts album of the year 2018. That was the joke.
That
I was
gonna
only
make seven. That was only seven songs long.
It was fine.
No.
Quality. Quality over quantity.
You named one of the songs.
Fire? I'm pretty sure I can name them all.
Okay. No.
Feel the
game. The game is not fire, name all the songs because
fourth
it's only
dimension,
seven. The game is
free,
name all the good songs.
Okay. Feel the Love,
God.
Fire, Fourth Dimension, Free, crap.
All right,
Reborn.
We're going to have to set this one aside for now, Sam. We'll pick it up later, I promise.
Kids See Ghosts, album of the year 2018. Go ahead.
I totally lost
also,
everything that
Father John Misty's new album, also very good. Go ahead. Sorry, we were talking about the Fox Sisters.
Yeah, so the Fox Sisters, after their claim, they began to be publicized in newspapers and actually got some notoriety and held kind of like stage shows of them holding a seance and bringing the spirit to life. And it was very convincing for a lot of ongoers because there's an audible effect to the performance. Mm-hmm. And I say performance because in a lot of cases, seances eventually became that way.
Right.
But I'm going to hold that for just a moment. Now, what you were saying about the idea that spiritualism is a religion that has roots with science is the nail in the hammer for sure.
Bang
so
on.
At this point in time, let's think about it. We've got mass transit from railways. We've got things like the telegraph, the telephone. We've got a lot of inventions.
Telemarketers.
Not quite yet, were
all
they?
Right, all right.
So we have a lot of these incredible devices that were new and did otherworldly things for us in a lot of ways. And spiritualism, with holding seances, held right up next to that.
Sure.
Because it's just another way for us to communicate with someone that is disembodied. But what?
That's a nice way of saying that.
But another really nice thing about spiritualism is that a lot of mediums, especially in the beginning of it, you can either be trained or you have a natural connection to it. A lot of times, mediums were women.
Okay.
And this is a point in time when women did not have much of a voice. So a lot of times, mediums during this era were also women suffrage activists or abolitionists. Now, not
just
all
like,
of them.
Just like the kids from Mary Poppins' mom.
Sure.
So
Mary Poppins in a long time.
You're telling me that Mrs. Banks was a seance holder.
Maybe.
I dig it.
You never know.
That means that Mary Poppins is a demon.
Sure.
I like this world we've created.
If Mary Poppins is a demon, then I am perfectly fine with
it. He's on board.
I am A-okay.
All right.
What
it
is
explains
that,
a lot.
All that sugar and that spoonful of medicine. Oh, I know.
It's sin.
Sugar. Okay, that makes... Ooh. All that symbolism.
Yeah. Okay,
symbolism.
Symbolism. Okay. I like it.
So, although a lot of mediums brought this power back to women, which, of course, with this kind of spiritual connection, if this was 300 years earlier, these women would have been killed
witches.
As witches.
Yeah.
Which is, something incredible to think of. Comparing it to, 300 years later on, when is it the technological differences that we've made, the science, possibly? But I think it's a definitely one of the kickstarters to this movement, and also kind of helps the whole women's suffrage movement in as a whole, as a side benefit, as a byproduct of it.
Don't mess with these ladies; they got demons.
No, Sam.
They can sick them on you.
They're not demons. That's what the churches want you to think.
Okay. Don't mess with these ladies. They got the disincarnate souls of the dead.
There you go. There you go.
Sick them.
But there was a lot of anti-propaganda published by American church organizations against spiritualism.
Sure.
Even though on the other side, we also have a lot of publications like the American, the Scientific American Journal, outingly saying that it was a plausible belief system and also a system backed by science, in quotations, even though at that point in time, our observations and what we conduct as tests wasn't the greatest,
right,
compared to now, especially the standards. Exactly. Now, one great thing that, or one interesting thing, is that spiritualism doesn't have really a tie to whether or not there is one hell or one heaven. It mm-hmm. is more like a multiple of hells or a multiple of heavens, and that there are different layers and different connections to it.
I'm probably just going to sit here having an anxiety attack all episode. Go ahead.
Another thing that separates them from a traditional religion is the fact that ghosts and the spirits that they communicated with were believed to be more of messengers from God than to be demons.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a negative thing at its core. Mm-hmm. I am a victim of the propagandization. I don't know if that's a word, yes, but it is sure. Now. I'm a victim of the propagandization that society has done to the seance movement. And also, just in general, I'm a victim.
Okay.
I feel very attacked right now. Go ahead.
At this point in time, occult theologies have also been rising up, and spiritualism and the occult were tied into one another quite heavily, even though both sides wanted to separate themselves from the other as much as possible, because spiritualism was the idea that, again, there is an infinite intelligence, and then after death, you continue to evolve and to grow as a soul instead of just being bodily.
Yeah.
While occultism, again, we're more focused on some sort of magical power or obtain power in general. You're just staring at me. Okay.
No, that's good. I understand that completely. I am for a different thing that we're probably going to talk about next week if I can get it done. I am doing a little bit of an occult research. I think that's a completely, yeah, totally what it is these people, occultists, if you will, say that they're in this, you know, just for wisdom and for knowledge, but they're actually attempting to gain real world power through the contacting of literal demons, as opposed to spiritualists, who are for the most part harmless and maybe just very sad people, I would think.
That's completely fair. And there's two other points I'd like to make that gave rise to the spiritualism movement, not only in the U.S., but also abroad. One of the first things is, sorry.
Oh, no.
The beginning of hypnosis, mesmerism by Franz Mesmer, which literally if anyone else came up with the name, I would be upset.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
it's a great name.
Right?
Mesmerized.
Yeah. So in the mid 19th century, so again, same era as the Fox sisters, he actually was able to demonstrate the ability of basic hypnosis in front of large crowds. So again, we've got this piece of showmanship in this weird subconscious kind of connection to another individual, and having suggestion and thought being placed within them. Was another additive to, oh, this spiritualism thing might be in the correct flow. This might be what
matches
legit
up with it.
This is,
I feel like,
a fair thing.
You get a as well, very similarly to like the sorts of misconceptions that you get with spiritualism, very similar, you get misconceptions with mesmerism and hypnosis, and people talking about, especially at this time, from what I understand, you had the fear that someone could essentially mesmerize you or hypnotize you on the street
and then send
you in to go rob a bank and to bring them the money and stuff, when that's just not
right
how it works.
Right. It gets scary with these newer ideas and newer concepts that are fresh. And then that was sort of the rumblings of spiritualism. Mm. And then something very impactful happened about 20 years later.
Okay.
We had the American Civil War.
Ah, lots of deads.
Exactly. A lot of casualties. And because of that, we had a lot of grieving families. searching for any way to communicate and to find some condolences with their lost loved ones, spiritualism boomed. Mediums held seances in cities all over the U.S. They went abroad into Europe as well. England was another prime spot. One funny thing, though, is that typically if you get caught as being a fraudulent medium in Europe, you are spending jail time, which is...
That's interesting.
Because it's... Because it's fraud. I mean, right. In general, like you're saying that you're providing one thing when in turn you're being completely false about it and willingly false about it.
Do you know? So I know that the Fox sisters, and I know a bit more about the Fox sisters than just what we've covered. So I know how that ends up, as I'm sure we'll talk about. But do you know... It's always weird with these social movements, right?
Because
this is a social movement in its own way. Was there like ground shaking, like benchmark cases of like verifiable? Because that was, like I said, or like you said as well, Scientific American's like, maybe they're onto something. Different people are saying, this could be legit. Do you know why people were thinking that differently, other than obviously like the hope and the pain and the mourning and the loss? But like for us to have gone through ostensibly 5,000, 6,000 years of human evolution, and it's always been that people who talk to ghosts are crazy and evil, and yet for some reasons, I just don't understand how that
why
shift
spiritualism
could occur.
Is different. Yeah. I think it was because mainly the rise of natural science.
Okay.
In general, we started looking at the world in a much more observatory way.
Curious.
Correct. Curious. Yes. Way. Okay. We're wanting to find true answers of what causes things.
Okay.
Instead of going to a supernatural route in order to answer them instead.
Fair.
Now, one thing that is incredibly convincing is seances are usually held in dim or completely dark rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And the performances themselves have been pretty convincing.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive in general. And that's one of the things that mediums truly are. They're performers.
Sure.
And when you go in to a seance expecting to communicate with someone from the other side,
sure,
generally you're more willing to believe what you experience as being factual.
Sure,
truthful.
Sure. Also, really quick here, guys. This is obviously a Jason special. We are not sitting here saying that if you've had like an experience that you're a performer or a charlatan or anything. We're talking specifically about spiritualism at its roots. So like, I don't know. I just don't want people writing me and being like,
you know, no,
how dare you dismiss my experience? We're not dismissing your experience.
I'm looking this at simply a historical viewpoint.
Exactly. And it's Jason, and it's a Jason special. And
this
is
what
you signed up for, people. And you guys love this. So don't at me. Okay. Go ahead, Jason.
All right. What was I talking about?
I can't remember.
Yeah. Okay, so mediums that were caught for fraud were usually tried.
Oh, that's right.
Especially in England, that was a big one. One great thing is American mediums would often just change their name and set up shop later on as well. But unfortunately, the fact of the matter is that with the American Civil War and then again later, there was a resurgence of spiritualism after the First World War. There are fraudulent people that prey upon the grieving of other individuals, which is, that's fair. I mean, it's not great, but that is an opportunity that people will always take advantage of if they can.
Yeah. And I like how you say always, because it happened then, it happened before that, it happens to this day. I mean, you know, one of the good examples in the last few decades was Peter Popoff. And do you know about Peter Popoff?
No, tell me about Peter.
Peter Popoff was we refer to them in the Christian community as health and wealth preachers. So basically they're sitting here saying, God wants you to be rich and healthy. And he manipulated Christianity for that, his own means, so that he could sell his books and stuff. But one thing that he did that made people really believe that what he was doing was legit and that he had a direct link to God is that during his mega church services, he would call people out of the crowd, people who came there with other people who are known to not be plants or anything like that. He called people out of the crowd. He told them their name. He told them, you know, who they had recently lost. He told them where they lived and you know, the steps they needed to get better, all without soliciting any information from them at all, which was his way of saying, like, look at me, God does talk to me, and so you should give me your money. And then James Randi, who co-authored that book that you got, The Real X-Files, James Randi, who is a very Harry Houdini type of person, he's a magician, hates the paranormal, which is, I mean, fair. I'll give it to him because of people like Popoff. Randi exposes him as basically wearing a transmitter.
Yeah.
And he has a woman up in the office transmitting the information to him. Mm-hmm. And then he's speaking it out. So whether it's spiritualists in the 19th century, Peter Popoff in the 20th, or all the other charlatans before that, like,
and it's great that you specify that exact example.
Nice.
Because that has been going on for like the past 120 years.
Yeah.
One of the best tricks, or I guess not tricks, but one of the more common ones was you'd have one person planted in the audience, and then audience members would write down a question and then sign it with their name. And those were all collected into envelopes. Those envelopes got sealed. And then the medium would essentially take the one planted person's letter first, because they know what that question is going to be. Right. They know all that personal information. And what they would do is they would hold up the envelope, declare what the question was and answer it. And then to prove that she was correct, mm-hmm. she would undo the envelope, open it, and show it to everyone. While doing that process, what they'd actually do is take the next letter, read that, memorize the question quickly, and then go on. So they're always
one letter envelope ahead.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So they know exactly what they're talking about.
Rats! These rats!
Right? There's also another one that had copper nails in their shoes that would connect to specific nails in the floorboards of their stage.
Sure.
That would run to essentially a one of their assistants that would read off information about whoever was asking the next question that they had written down as well to a receiver in their ear.
Oh, interesting.
So it was a way to connect the loop.
So, okay. So it's transmitted through the nails.
Correct.
See, it's the same old thing.
It's the
Again,
same
not
thing.
Everybody, but the majority of these things are the same old thing.
Yeah. And I mean, that's one thing that is really impressive about this kind of stuff is that's very cutting edge technology.
Oh, yeah.
For, again, like 120 years ago.
Yeah.
More recently, one of the last great mediums in the 1950s, he explained several different ways of how he got personal information from people that basically even just taking the information that they would gather from one another. So mediums would actually share essentially cards of information about people before we had the internet so that they could exchange info, learn how to best connect with the individual to, you know, relay their message. But they would also, of course, have assistants go through coat pockets and purses in a waiting room and get as much more detailed information as possible before holding their seances.
See, and it upsets me because I feel like in the modern day, we have Facebook and Instagram. And
right,
everything.
Right. We do kind of the same
we do
thing.
The same
it's just
thing,
way easier.
But it is way easier, but I guarantee you that there are people out there who bill themselves as mediums, and all they are just masters of Google Foo. That's it. But people still are like, oh, yes.
Yeah.
Because it's telling what we want to hear.
Yeah, we
right?
have a desire, and we are actively searching out answers to questions that we want to have. Yeah, it's just
know.
Like it's just what it's what I mean. It's a normal human response.
Yeah,
right. I mean, and that's the one thing that mediums today also use is they actually just get information from the individual. They get fed it, and then essentially regurgitate it back with keywords and asking very specific questions.
There's like,
and you want to believe it because you're there to get those answers from them.
I can't remember what the name of this person was. I think I've talked about it a few times, how my mother is like a good waypoint as to why I have an interest in the paranormal. My mom's not kooky like I am. Like, she'd never like sat down and read books about this, but like she tuned into Coast to Coast and stuff like that. And that, yeah, like,
that was their her outlet. Yeah.
Yeah. And so one of the things she did is she watched and she would TiVo episodes. I remember them being TiVo'd of this medium that was on TV. And we like, we told her many times, we were like, Mom, this is fake. Like, this is fake. This is just somebody, yeah, transmitting. She's got a thing in her ear. She says it's for levels, but it's not for levels. It's for, you know, this. And she said something to me about like, essentially, like, everybody knows it's fake, like, or at least the majority of people know it's fake, but it's still just, it gives you something. It still gives you something, even if you can sit there and say, I know this isn't real. And like, that's one of the most like more beautiful and also tragic things about the human condition. But anyway, I derailed us. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Some of the classic equipment for seances and the medium alike are essentially your seance table, which is a tipping table.
Trick table, yeah.
Yeah. Those are pretty cool. You can actually probably still find schematics for them to build your own if you really, really wanted to.
If you're a carpenter.
Otherwise, also Ouija boards, which are way less known and actually weren't used that often. They're more of a side note than anything. Mm. Ouija boards were actually patented in 1890 by Elijah Bond.
Whoa.
Back then, they're just talking boards.
Yeah,
with a planchette, with something as simple as saying yes, no, having numbers 1 through 0 through 9, goodbye, and occasionally has hello on it. In 1901, William Fuller took over production of Elijah Bond's factory for them and renamed them Ouija boards, which is really just a mashup of the French and German words for yes.
Oh.
Which is
we and Ja.
Yeah. Which is way less like
spooky.
What I wanted. Yeah. Exactly.
I understand.
Eventually he would go off in like 1920 and be like, oh no, I made these boards. They're mine.
I hate that you told me that.
Right? It ruins everything. Now, besides for that, one of the big things that rubbed at least some of my favorite people now, magicians wrong.
Yeah.
Is that magicians are obviously performers.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They are there to trick you, and you know you're there to be tricked.
Mm-hmm.
Mediums, magicians mainly saw them as people that were tricking them, but were doing it in a manner that extorted them.
And was more deceitful.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
No one... I want to say no one. I have. You usually go to the magic show and you know it's not magic.
Oh, yeah. No, they're tricks.
I mean, it's hard to reconcile sometimes. I remember seeing this thing one time. It was like this YouTube magician who won like America's Got Talent.
Mm-hmm.
And he used, like, he teleported. I'm just going to tell you what I saw. I don't know how he did it. He teleported a dollar bill inside of a sealed package of ramen noodles. Uh-huh. Like, and then they opened the package, broke it open, and it had the same serial number as this random bill that he pulled out of one of the kids' wallets. I don't know how that's possible. I think it might be magic.
And they just copied the bill.
So, but that's the thing, right? Is that only idiots like me would actually even say, I think it's actual magic.
Well,
the majority
like,
of people know they're getting tricked and they want to be.
Exactly. You're there to be tricked. So you're more willing to ride along with it, you know? So with that in mind, magicians were actively against spiritualism. Less spiritualism, more mediums and their seances.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most famous magician of all, Harry Houdini, actually went to a medium to hold a seance after his mother tragically died in 1913 as a way to get some sort of closure. Off of it. He quickly realized that the medium was totally fraudulent, and then went on essentially a spree of a crusade of
debunking.
Outing of outing mediums. Nice. A lot of times he'd show up in disguise. And as soon as he figured out where one of the tricks were that they were using, for example, one of them was actually really cool because the room's very, very dark and typically your hands stay on the table. But really, you just have to have nimble hands.
Right.
One of the mediums was able to take a megaphone, place it on her head in the middle of a seance without anyone but Harry noticing that her hand had moved. And then so she had conjured the soul of her dead brother.
Oh no.
And the brother asked Harry where he should throw the megaphone, and he said in front of him. And so with a quick movement of her head,
right,
she threw the megaphone down in front of Harry.
Right.
Which is really, really cool.
Sure.
Another
that's
popular,
convincing. That another would convince me.
Is there's a ghost bell.
I know about this.
Yeah,
I don't know how I know about it, but this is familiar somehow.
So members of the seance typically have their feet also touching one another.
Right.
Harry went as far as like literally roping off his foot to where he's got really bad blood pressure issues and it's tender to the touch and everything. So he's extra sensitive for any kind of foot movement.
Oh my gosh.
But one of the commons was mediums would just slip out their foot from their shoe to ring the bell. And so Harry was able to actually feel the medium as she moved her foot gently away from him. And then back. So it's very, very sleight of hand-esque maneuvers that mediums take, that mediums use for their seances, which is really, really cool.
Yeah.
But
if they weren't lying about it.
Literally my favorite thing about researching this at all, my favorite thing in the world is that whenever Houdini figured out the trick, he would stand up, take off his disguise and say, "I am Houdini and you are a fraud."
Yes. Yes. That's everything the culmination of my life is this moment.
"I am Houdini and you are a fraud.
I'm going to put that as the subtitle.
So
is that
beautiful.
What you were
yes,
thinking
yeah.
about? Yes. I'm going to do that as
and
the subtitle.
And then the only thing
episode.
I think after that was the next Mario title. It's a me, Mario, and you are a fraud.
You are a fraud. Oh, Bowser. Oh, no. That's amazing.
This is what happens when Mario goes to Luigi's Haunted Mansion.
There we go. It is a fake. Oh, man, that's terrible. Thank you for this gift you have given me.
You're very welcome. But yes, it was a natural
pastime.
Can you
make a shirt?
For most
Please
magicians.
Make a shirt that says, "I am Houdini, you are a fraud."
I would love nothing more than to do that.
Good.
I'm gonna have him like standing up, blazingly like pushing over the tipping table. and that's one of the great things about the evolution of these seances is that they continue to get like more intricate. Of course, mm-hmm. like with magic as well, they got more intricate tricks.
Sure.
Towards the later end, into the 30s and 40s, there was a lot of ectoplasm running around, which would like form itself into hands and stuff coming from the medium. Again, all this stuff took place in dark rooms.
Right.
That was one of the biggest things that was
spirits hate the light.
Yeah, totally.
It hurts.
Totally hates the light.
Yeah.
You're correct. Yeah. But
okay.
Unfortunately.
Right.
Well, fortunately for us, we had great people like Houdini out there busting them.
Yes.
If Jamie and what's his name?
Adam from
Mythbusters were alive back then, I'm pretty sure
that's
this would
probably
be their
what
gig.
They would do. That's fair.
They would either make the stuff for seances or they'd just be busting them. One or the other. Now, there are sometimes where even you and I, those that are not mediums,
sure,
try to summon spirits.
Nope. I haven't.
Try to use Ouija boards. Maybe some of our listeners have.
Sure.
And inexplicably, the planchette moves.
Right.
That is actually a well-documented thing, something that we have known about for quite some time. William Benjamin Carpenter.
Nice.
essentially founded the ideomotor phenomenon, which is essentially a fancy way of saying that when you are consciously expecting something to happen, subconsciously, your muscles will act in order to provide that outcome.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's also known as the Carpenter effect, and that was established way back in 1852.
Wow.
Right?
Right, nipping it in the bud.
And you got it.
And yet no one cared.
And yet no one cared. Well, see, that's the thing, too. Houdini and other magicians would discredit all these mediums.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, people just didn't care.
Yeah,
they would be publicized and scrutinized in more, again, like the scientific journal-esque sure. aspect, where the majority of the populace don't really have access or don't really care about reading those publications. Or the medium, again, would just reinvent themselves
mm-hmm.
like a magician.
You just see it. It just is, again, consistent with the power of belief and how we can you can prove someone false. And they will still believe what they believe, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's something as silly as the spelling of a word or something like that, or something as big as mediumship. Like, it is simply that if you believe it, you're going to believe it. And it's going to take some sort of internal change, nothing that the facts can show you, internal change to change your mind. For some people, not for everybody. Mm-hmm. Most people are logical and can work with things, but it's just that yeah. It's a terrible thing. Yeah. Sasquatch, man. Sasquatch.
Oh, boy.
Tell you what. Go ahead.
So along with the Edemotor phenomenon, James Braid, which is known to be the modern founder of hypnosis, of course, working off of Mesmer's basic ideas, was also a friend of William Carpenter's. He actually conducted quite a few different experiments with a few other scientists as well in order to confirm what they had assumed from the Edemotor phenomenon. Hmm. So this is a real thing. One way that we ourselves can actually take part of and kind of test in such a way is that something as simple as writing yes, no, and maybe on a piece of paper and then holding a pendulum in your hand and then getting questioned with basic answers. So weirdly enough, your hand movements, even though you're not knowing you're doing it, will sometimes move the pendulum into what the correct answer is.
Which By is, pendulum, do we mean like a pencil or a ball on a string?
Ball on a string.
I don't have one of those available.
Well, anyone could do it.
Okay.
I'm just pointing that out as an obvious one. Another one that's fairly common is doing something similar in a quadrant fashion with using two pencils.
Mm. Okay.
Crisscrossing each other.
I do have those.
And essentially your breathing moves the pencil into the correct area. So that one seems a little bit tougher to pull off.
That one, I don't know. That one seems like
that one, I believe,
seems
you'd
like
have
a conscious
a little bit more
deception.
Yes, or at least you'd have less, like, actual, like, real experimental, like, data collected from
right.
that one. Because I'm sure there's a lot of times where you're looking at it and just nothing will happen.
Right.
Absolutely nothing will happen.
Hmm. Okay.
Sam, any questions for me? I forgot to mention, you brought them up before, but some of the bigger activists towards spiritualism was people
in
like
the positive
yes in the positive
pro-activists.
Sense there was actually quite a lot of different scientists in physical and natural fields and also authors like Sir Arthur Conan Doyle bingo gotcha. If everyone knows Sherlock Holmes you have him to thank for that.
He hated Sherlock Holmes.
What?
He hated him. He was like because essentially
because this is like
as you trick. Just pointed out Sherlock Holmes is more famous than Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
Yes.
And so, like, he hated Sherlock Holmes. So he killed him off. And then everyone was like, what the heck? You can't do that. We love Sherlock. And he was like, okay, fine. And he brought him back. But, yeah, he hated
yeah.
Sherlock Holmes. Yeah, he... So Conan Doyle is a really, really, truly interesting... Just... I love him. He has created this perfect master of deduction, right? to do that, you have to be fairly intelligent to yeah. even, you know, be able to play in that space. However, this is a man who not only, again, not only with spiritualism, but the famous photograph, the Cottingley Fairies. Have you seen that photograph? Mm-hmm. It's the little girl. It's like an old-timey Victorian little girl with fairies in front of her. Like that, something that's proven to be false. It was just yeah. paper cutouts. He, like 100%, was like, this is totally real.
This is totally real.
And then same sort of thing with, I think it was even with the... I think it was with the Berkeley Square Elemental as well. But yeah, just he's such an interesting aspect of a person who, like, it just goes to show anybody can believe in anything, yeah. right? Your sources and your facts. And the reason why you believe, even though I'm sitting here as the guy who always is like, but this guy believes in aliens, so it has to be. The reasons as to why you believe have to be credited for the reasons themselves, not the people, not the sources, right? Like, yeah, you should have a good source, but if a good source publishes bad information, it's still bad information.
Right.
And it's just a great example of that. The other really thing that could be touched on, or not necessarily here, but something interesting for the more morbid of our listeners, all of you. y'all wild. So you can find a lot of stories of Ouija boards.
Oh yeah.
And you can say, the Ouija board told me this, and then this happened. I even have an acquaintance or a friend who was playing with a Ouija board and then just a few weeks later got into a life-threatening accident, essentially. And so there's a great, 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 great podcast. We've talked about it like 100 times. Pleasing Terrors. Mike Brown, he created an episode on Ouija boards in general.
And probably a little different.
Yeah, it's a little different. And what I love about it is that Mike is a great storyteller, and he respects and loves the story. But even with the Ouija boards, he like told about different times that people have used Ouija boards to create like evil, where the evil is not necessarily the board, but it's the person themselves at the board. One was like an example of like a mother and a child, and they were doing a Ouija board together, and the Ouija board said something like, you know, kill your father to the child. And then the child did it. And then later the mother confessed that it was her moving the planchette to spell it out. And that kind of thing, like, go listen to that episode, because yeah. it's some truly like evil, scary stuff, but it has nothing to do with demons, right?
Yeah. And you know, it's weird that you bring that up, because through the decades, it is the propaganda against spiritualism mm-hmm. and the ties that it naturally had with occultism that propagated and warps what we assume the Ouija board is for,
right?
And seances in general are for,
right? It's an interesting subject, and it is. It's,
because honestly, that makes for better storytelling.
Oh yeah. And
if we aren't anything but storytellers, then I don't know.
That's all we are.
What we are.
We are
murderers.
Children telling stories in the dark.
No, until, it's very bright out.
Until the light of day.
What are you?
Anyway, but still, even with everything you've just told me, you can't bring a Ouija board in my house. And it is that same, like, I've been sitting here saying like, oh, what you want to believe and what you want to believe. And even though I don't want my house to be under spiritual attack or anything like that, I have to accept that a part of me wants to believe that the Ouija board is evil, whether it's that it's been propaganda or it's my subconscious saying, you know, it's the exact same thing where I booked a ghost tour for when I'm in Scotland in a week or two.
Yeah.
And like, I've been telling everybody, with any luck, I'm going to get punched in the face by a ghost. Like, with any luck, I will get the definitive proof that I need. And maybe that's what it is that I want the Ouija board to be inherently evil, because at least it would prove something.
Right, right. But, it's not to everyone else, but to yourself.
Exactly. But as anyone who has gone on spiritual religious journeys of any kind can tell you, you don't need the evidence. And the evidence isn't going to come from a Ouija board. It's not going to come from getting punched in the face by a ghost. The evidence comes from other things that are less quantifiable and yet more impactful. So I just don't want Ouija boards.
That's and even fine. Like, how do you feel about seances?
Seances, I don't like, I don't know. Seances are weird. It really surprised me that you didn't talk about the ending of the Fox sisters.
Oh, they outed themselves saying that they made it all up and then they eventually retorted that.
Cool. Okay. So, but how did they make it up? Do you recall? Did you know?
I don't recall.
Supposedly. Yeah. And here's the thing is I haven't done that research yet because
I believe they made the guy that got murdered up as well.
Sure.
I don't know why they finally confessed.
Supposedly, I have not done all the research, so I don't know. I'd like to actually do an episode. The Fox sisters have been on our list since we started this show. So we'll probably do a different side of it where, you know, my side of it.
Once we finally forget about this one.
Yeah, it's not going to be like last time where we like did vampires and we did vampires again because that just didn't work very well like I wanted to. But the Fox sisters claimed that they had the ability by rotating their wrists and their ankles to make popping, which was the rapping that supposedly came from the table to communicate with the dead.
Mm.
However,
my joints do that too.
Sure. Yeah. some people will say that they claimed this, but they never actually demonstrated it. They never could actually pull it off like on command. And that when they told it, they didn't just tell it to like family and friends. They went all out. This part's documented. They went all out with a big expose from the newspapers, from the media, and they got paid a handsome sum for it. And so some people would say that the Fox sisters started what they were doing, whether it was genuine or not, but they became accustomed to a certain lifestyle, money throughout it. And then as the interest in spiritualism died, so did their income streams.
Of course.
Right. And so that they came out and they said, well, we were faking it, and they created this story, and then they got paid again, and then they got paid again. So it's hard to say exactly what the truth is. Again, I don't know how true all of that is, but that's like the other side of it is they did things for money and they continued to do things for money. So, but to me, that's always been one of the bigger reasons as to why I find spiritualism fascinating. And we didn't even talk about like the actual beliefs systems themselves.
No, we did
are
not.
Amazing.
No, I looked at it as an overall for a movement at atmosphere.
Which is totally fine and exactly what we needed. But that's probably what we'll do someday in the future is look at these
a deep dive.
Yeah, individual belief systems. You have system or you have people going in front of like the Royal College of Surgeons, I think it was, and they're going in front of them, giving them demonstrations on spiritual energy and spiritual power. And every single royal surgeon is fooled by this. And then they create a backstory and a lore for the worlds and the heavens and the hells. It's fascinating stuff. It really is. But it's something for another time. This was a good scientific and historical overview of spiritualism, though. I think you did very well with that.
Thanks, Sam, because that's all I got.
Yeah.
All I got for today.
I'm trying to think about anything else like that I want to talk about with this.
I really want a movie with Harry Houdini literally just
Ghostbusting. I am Houdini anyone. And you are a fraud. You should truly make a shirt or a button or a patch or a sticker or something, and we will sell that. We are in the process. I don't necessarily want to transition to announcements yet, but I will just say we are in the process of migrating our store. And we're going to reopen it. Jason's working on some designs. So we're going to reopen it with a few more designs here in the future. But so keep an eye out for that. Right now, if you want merch, crap, I can't even remember what it is. I never give it out. It's like, it's either notalonepodcast.threadless.com or it's threadless.notalonepodcast.com. So try that out. So in your opinion, again, I know it was a general overview. I know that it was not with the specifics themselves. On your opinion, is there anything at all to this movement? Or at least, again, speaking historically, is it absolutely nothing but charlatans?
Personally, I think it was a spiritual movement based off of the time and era that it was in.
Good idea.
Like it only could exist in that time point. If that makes sense.
That does make sense.
Like I think that. there's a lot of cultural and scientific things that were happening at that point in time where it allowed for spiritualism to occur. I think unfortunately the constant casualties from the Civil War to both world wars was enough to keep it thriving and to keep it going, at least on that medium side. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it was a theology based that could only survive and has only survived really because of the time and place it took place.
Yeah, even in modern day, it's different. You know, it's a different flavor of doing things.
I think it's one of the early, that and again, like hypnosis, it's some of the earlier movements that could have led to, you know, a better understanding of the human psyche.
Yeah. What, apart from I am Houdini and you're a fraud, what about this did you enjoy the most about learning? Like, what was the coolest or best or most enjoyable thing you learned?
I was shocked how it made an impact on, again, like the women's suffrage and abolition movements.
That's interesting.
They weren't necessarily tied hand in hand, but they definitely helped one another.
Yeah. To me, it reminds me a lot. We mentioned it on one of our episodes that was a more Victorian haunting, and we talked about galvanism. Remember galvanism and
this idea
that you could reintroduce electricity into the human body after death to recreate.
Also,
life.
I during this time point, like also alchemy was a science to be studied at this point in time too. So all that
alchemy's the bomb.
Yeah, like when you think of that, alchemy is the, I like to think of it as like the other side of the coin of spiritualism, where it is a study of Earth's elements and things like that. Well, spiritualism is, again, of the spirit.
Yeah.
So you have, you know, the very material world to the transitional of what our souls can do.
Transcendental world. Galvanism, it's the same sort of thing where kind of when humanity or when society, culture, whatever, gets a little bit of information and a little bit of knowledge from that little kernel of truth, they build entire kingdoms of fantasy. And Galvanism is one of those kingdoms, however short-lived as it was, wherein the idea that, you've got a dead body. We know that we're starting to know that the muscles move from electrical impulses. And therefore, the right electrical current in the right place at the right time is going to reanimate a dead body. And it's these experiments that had such a impact on Victorian high society at the time that people like Mary Shelley, this, you know, upper class, higher class individual, is writing about the creation of artificial life through electricity and this monstrous thing. It's really amazing because nowadays, I mean, I guess when you get really high up, people are like crazy, but your normal rich people, I don't think that they're sitting around talking about like ghosts and galvanism and stuff like that. It's just an interesting.
Well, yeah. Instead, they're talking about like Bitcoin and market shares.
Yeah, exactly.
It's different. It's just more. It's the same thing. It's the same conversation. It's just different
Bitcoin.
Topics. Yeah, that's. I mean,
it's not ghosts. It's cryptocurrency.
It's similar. It's cryptos. It's a similar concept though. It really is. It's the kind of that cutting edge of, is this
okay? I see what you're saying.
Is this real? You know, is this the newest science?
Right. The new
the newest found information to go upon and to like lead our lives with.
Interesting. Yeah, man. It's not. It's crypto.
It was really cool.
Yeah, dude, it's a really interesting part of human history, and I know that what you're saying, it's more of the occult side, but if anyone has not seen The Illusionist, you should see The Illusionist, because it may be more of the occult side of things, but it's that same sort of mentality where this guy is getting up, and it's not like a huge part of the movie, it's just a few minutes, but he like gets up and conjures the spirits for a crowd because of this power of belief. So mm-hmm. You know, in other news, guys, if you're out there and you're going to mediums and stuff, I mean, I'm not here to tell you that psychic powers don't exist and that people can't talk to the dead. That's just, I'm never going to say that. I can't. It's illegal, but
I will.
He will. But at least do your best, you know, be careful. And, you know, we care about you. We don't want you guys getting burned. So, you know, choose wisely. Anything else? It's going to be a short episode.
That's kind of it, man. That's okay. Yeah, I knew it was going to be.
That's okay.
A little reprieve from our usual 1.5 to 2 hour long
marathon.
Monsters. Yeah.
Well, let me do this then. So, hello, listeners. I love you.
Because to be completely honest, there isn't a ton more information about Ouija boards. Talking boards have been around since the 1100s in China.
Right.
Originally, which is kind of cool. Thank you, Wikipedia, for that tidbit of information. but yeah, there wasn't an actual major use for it. It's really just more of a fabrication of pop culture and of a storytelling for media.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. I guess what we're going to do, because we only got one podcast review and it's a mean one, so we're not going to read that out.
Aw.
That's all right. If you want to, you can just look it up. Like, it's public knowledge.
You're right there. You've got it right there.
I'm good. Anyway, so if anybody wants to support the show, going and leaving a review is a great way of doing that on iTunes. Just a wonderful way of letting us know what you're liking, what you're not liking, and all of that. We also have one new patron that we'd like to thank. So we'd like to thank Taylor Navoo, I think. I don't know.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah,
ooh, Taylor.
Other than that, guys, it's a slow week. It's a weird week. You know, we're doing a special. We don't have any other news. Yeah, man. I don't know. That's all I got.
That's it?
It feels wrong,
Let's
but
wrap
that's
it
all
up,
I got.
Sam.
So, okay. You can find me on Twitter. I'm Beerlord Elfbane because I hate the elves and I love beer, as demonstrated from this episode. My name is Sam Fredrickson. I'm Beerlord Elfbane. Jason, where can they find you?
On Twitter, I'm Mighty Moit. Otherwise, you can also grab me on Facebook as well.
There you go. You could go
which
to...
Which is great because I'm a half-elf in our latest D&D campaign.
Oh, that's
that
right.
Doing.
We started a D&D campaign.
It's going to be great.
It's not going to be a podcast. We're doing this with our friends. This is our private life.
Yeah.
you can go to our Facebook group, Remember We Are Not Alone, a community for the strange. That's a good place to hang out and talk about cool, spooky stuff. You can like us on Facebook. You can go on Instagram or around there somewhere. Sometimes...
Are
I've
we?
Posted in the
sure.
last 5 weeks.
Okay.
I think I've posted once.
Good job.
So yeah, it's whatever. I'm going downhill as a human being. So
you are. How many of those have you had today,
this
Sam?
This is just one.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What's the percentage on that?
It's like 5. I'm Sammy not
boy.
Drunk, Jason. I'm not drunk.
Should Thank we conjure you. The spirits for aid?
Yes.
All right. We're going to go conjure the spirits.
No. Okay. I am going to go move a couch, though. So, okay, guys, remember, whether you are... Ooh, or I am Houdini and you are a fraud, you are not alone.